everybody. You might be able to increase the bit rate. Hi. Hi, welcome to the live stream. I am, there's no super chats. I can't have a closed member only thing, but that's fine. I actually see it as a huge blessing in disguise. My wife yesterday was like, "You look happy." I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "You just look young." And it dawned on me that I was like, the super chats were becoming so profitable that I felt almost like I was being like I was not being a good dad or husband by not working all the time, because it was like, okay, I'm being selfish if I take a night off when I could just be providing for my family. So then they were like, okay, you're no longer monetized. And I was like, I felt so relaxed. And also the super chats, although awesome, I would always miss a bunch of them. And it was starting to make me feel like a liar or guilty or something. And so that's why sometimes I'd have these 4-hour streams, because I would be trying to get to the super chats and one of them would be interesting and I'd go off for an hour. And then I'd be like, this is not possible. And so with the new unauthorized.tv, we're designing a chat and the super chat ability. And this is what makes life so awesome. We're going to improve it. You know, there's going to be a limit of super chats, 15, 20, 10, whatever. It's like when I'm doing a topic, like today is a very specific topic. It's about logos. It's about history, pyramids, all kinds of stuff, order, the order of the universe. But when I'm doing something specific and I just see like 50 super chats, don't get me wrong. Part of me is like, awesome, that relieves financial stress. But once the financial stress was relieved, I saw it as like, okay, I'm now just going to be letting down a bunch of people that just gave me money. And it was kind of like making me, I don't know, it was not good for my logos. So we are going to do a thing where we will have a limit of super chats. So that way it still exists, but we don't have to have that happen again. And unauthorized.tv is great because our membership is up, but also you don't have to be a member. You can just watch videos on there and we're going to grow it. It's just like this. And instead of the members only money going to YouTube, it goes to the good guys. And it couldn't have worked out better, you know? And we weren't ready to announce it yet, but Vox just made it happen fast. And people seem really excited about an alternative, because as much support as I was getting here, a lot of people would email me that they were bummed out that some of the money was going to YouTube. And this changes that. Like the percentage that I would be paying to YouTube is now going towards people that are building something better. And that's better for everybody's conscience, frankly. And yeah. I find it, because I'm penning a nice letter to YouTube on Monday. I want to take a little time to think about it. I have a few questions about the demonetization of my platform, because I have no issue whatsoever with taking away my ads. But the majority of my income on YouTube was membership, which is voluntary, and also Super Chats, which is also voluntary. So that doesn't make any sense. And then in my About Me section, the first sentence is, "I'm a comedian." And so then you have to justify why some comedians can say some things and others can't. And it cannot be because of advertisements. That doesn't make any sense. But of course, sense comes from logos, which is what we're going to talk about today. The name of this episode is "The One Fight No One Can Win." I'll just tell you right now. Hang on, Owen, give me 1 second. Owen, you talk so bad about the Jews that it's hard to know if you are criticizing a part of them or all of them. You need to fix this. I don't need to do anything. Want to know what else I don't need to do? Read any comments, because people aren't paying for them. I'll read them when I want to. It's so freeing. I'm gonna explain a lot about that today, about the Jew thing. Because as a comedian, my whole job, and anyone That's why this is so easy to explain to people. I just go, George Carlin, seven words you can't say on TV. And everyone's like, what a great joke. I'm like, I'm figuring out the new words you're not allowed to say or the new things you're not allowed to say. See, all the comedians were always allowed to be rebellious when it was towards degeneracy, but never towards logos. And I thought a lot about, like, okay, what is it about Jews? I did figure it out, by the way, with the help of E. Michael Jones. The guy's unbelievable. I was just on a bender. I listened to him on a couple podcasts of people that Vox Day would refer to as alt retards. And I finally understand why people, the alt retard, they're awful. They're just like any other rejection of logos. You know, it's like, and I'm going to get to that as well. It's unbelievable about, it's like we need a white god or gods that represent our power. And E. Michael Jones is like, that's called idolatry. And they're like, and this one guy was lisping. I'm like, the guy's lisping. It's, and how white, hilariously, is a construct of the former ruling class, Jews as well. But to take the, because ethnos matters. Your ethnicity, your nation. That's what makes Vox Day so dangerous. That's why you know Richard Spencer's name, a lot of people, but only the people who get it know Vox Day, because Richard Spencer is a buffoon and they cart him out to reinforce this nonsense. You know, the Charlottesville thing was buffoonish. That's insane. There is no such thing as white. And people are like, you're reinforcing the self-hatred. No, you are. White was created. You take Polish, Irish, German people that have their own nation, and then you're all defined by TV dinners, Starbucks, and miniskirts, right? And then it literally takes away your ability to have a cohesive community. And if you think that all national conflict was Jewish created, look at Caesar's genocide of the Celts or the Franks. Look at any of this stuff. None of this is new. Just saying white. And then people are like, yeah, well, I turn on the media all the time and it just says like white privilege, white this. It's like, stand up for what? It's like media. What is the media? This is a land of lies. So if your worldview is depicted by ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, every single company I just listed is owned and operated exclusively by Jewish people. Okay, so who's really living in their oppressor's words? Someone who has white pride, which is an upside down to the point where you can't win that. That isn't order. There's no order there, you know, because your blood matters, and so does your language, so does your tradition, so does the way you see the world, and that's why, you know, in the beginning there was the Word, you know, in the Gospel of John, a lot of people forget that he wrote it in Greek, so Word was logos, not word. Like, it was originally written logos for a reason, because logos has a different, it's a much broader, bigger idea in Greek. And, you know, it's logic, it's reason, it's words, it's also love. It's God. In the beginning, there was the Word, there was the order, there was that which is. And you can't fight that which is. Which is what brought me originally to Christianity, is because you just keep feeling it. And so, and it dawned on me today as I'm making my herb garden. You want to experience logos? Grow things. Farm. You know, be a carpenter. And why I hate I'm not going to use the word hate. Why I was so indifferent to Christianity because of my Catholic upbringing, it's the opposite of what I thought it was. So growing up, you know, they said contraception was okay. The Catholic Church says that was okay, but abortion wasn't. So I rebelled the wrong way. I was like, these people are hypocrites. You know, they're not living the word. You know, why is one thing, what they were saying wasn't making sense at all, which it doesn't, to the point where I was like, so agnostic hedonism literally makes more logical sense than saying that birth control and condoms are okay, but abortion isn't. the reality is all contraception, it has to be all or nothing, just like abortion. When someone's like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 40, that's why it's like all or nothing. And we see these chinks in the armor. The logos is the unmoved mover, the word. It can't be changed. You don't have the ability of changing it. You can't make a God. God can't do your bidding. So it's funny. I rebelled the wrong direction. It should have rebelled towards order. Because what their mistake was, they gave me a worldview that was half right and half disgusting. And so I assumed the half that was disgusting was the part about, you know, sex before marriage is bad and all the religious readings and stuff. I thought that was the fairy tale. No, the fairy tale was that we can choose the order of God. That's the fairy tale. And let me tell you something about why are condoms wrong? Because it's the same as the gun argument. It's the same as everything. Okay. The whole purpose of sex and the order of the universe and God is to create life. So sodomy is to that which is fruitful, you make sterile. Okay. So is a condom. A condom is an act of narcissism. A condom is saying, I want the pleasure of life creation without the responsibility because I deserve it. Well, once you open that door, there is no argument. Like I'm telling you, from a kid's perspective, growing up Catholic in the 80s after it had been corrupted, there is no argument why abortion is then bad because, you know, you want the sex without the responsibility or sodomy, you know? And once you do that, once you have control over what the world is, then you get trans. You get trans kids. It's all the same thing. It's a rejection of the original thing. That's why you see me rebel against so many taboo topics. Like when I say, how can a boy, how come we can question whether or not having a male genitalia makes you a male, but I can't question the number of people who died in the Holocaust. And people just say, hateful bigot. And they feel noise. They feel fear. They freak out because it's order. It's the word. And so once you accept any of those, once you can't question the moon landing, once you can't say the word Jew, once you can't say the word nigger, I'm not talking about insulting a black person. I'm talking about saying a word. Once you give up one word, you gave up all your words. Once you can't criticize one group, you can't criticize any group. Once you can't question this, that's why flat earth drives people crazy. Because why can't you question that? You know, and then once you go down that road, it eventually takes you to a really beautiful place, a place of order, you know? And I'm looking around my life. I look around my life these days. Hey, Georgie, it's good. It's fine. There's no, that's not a predator. That's my son. Hey, that's Walter. Hey. That's fine. That's not a raccoon. That's not a raccoon. It's a little boy. George, we can't have that. All right. So it's not did we land on the moon? It's why can't I question it? It's not did 6 million die? It's why can't I question it? That's the whole point. Once you accept one nonsense thing, it all goes away. You can't, then you can't. I noticed that with a lot of Protestants with abortion stuff, where they're like, I may have to do something about this. George, there's no logos in what you're doing. George, there's no logos. By the way, that's what separates us from animals, is the ability, the word. That's not speaking. That's just an emotional tirade. George, those aren't words. You're just saying noise. That doesn't help anyone. George, you don't have words. You don't have logos. You're just making chaos. It's all good, buddy. I know you were confused because you don't understand what I'm saying. You only understand tone because you don't have logos. George does not get it. And so the degradation of man came from this ability to change that which is true. So Darwin. You know, and it's not just, George, that's not logos. It's obviously not just Jews. I mean, look at one of the reasons that Africa, Australia, all these places are so never advanced is because they're polytheists. You know, they have tons of gods. That's why this new, this whole European pantheon thing is so stupid. You open up the door to narcissism with that again. Okay, show me Thor, you know, Odin, all this stuff. It's like it's a soap opera. Guys, read the Talmud. You're going down the road of the Talmud. It's like, okay, if you can write the will of your gods based on your own will, that's Luciferianism. Now you're just talking shit, George. Hello. And that's what a lot of people miss, the racial-based people are missing, is the combination of the word and then the ethnicity. Not the white skin. That was invented to confuse you forever. Isn't that hilarious? Like, okay, I'll show you the biggest. If you fight for white people, you already lost. If you fight for your ability to think, to worship your family, your nation, your community, that's the only way to win. And winning is just being able to live in it peacefully, you know? And it's pretty gruesome to see this rising tide of like, well, if they can be black and have pride, we can be white and have pride. It's like, okay, it's like watching an NFL game where you see these hood rats running full speed into each other and giving each other brain aneurysms. Okay, which team wins at the end? The owner of the team, who's most likely Jewish, by the way. That's real. Like watch a football game. That's why I don't watch sports, because it's like how it's like watching people trying to accumulate debt-based money to a degree. I get it. You need it to survive in this world. I get it. But like the love of it is when you or like when you think it's real is when your whole life falls apart. It's the same with like football. It's like, oh, we won 21-7. It's like, nah, the owner won. He wins every time. There is no. I mean, both sides just did irreparable brain damage as people just cheered and clapped and just paid money to watch just violence. And yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, we got to stand up for whites. Like I was listening to one of these alt retards talk. I'm like, he has a lisp and he's dumb. So like what? That's one reason why I pursued height supremacist, because as a comedian who stress tests sacred cows, ideas, words, logos, I'm starting to realize. I wanted to understand if it was racial or it was, are we not allowed to have any in-group preference at all? You know, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's get to the base of the problem. So that's why I'm like, I'm a height supremacist. I only relate to people over 6'4". There's an element of truth to that, but it's obviously silly. I do feel a sigh of relief when I'm around really tall white people. I just, something instinctive about it just makes me think like, you've lived a life kind of like me, so we don't have to have all the backstory talk. But it was funny to me because it's like to watch people spiral about in-group preference, then you realize what it is. It's just basically, are you allowed to have a tribe that isn't defined by TV dinners, consumption, you know, 2.1 kids, cars, mortgage and debt, you know, watching ABC, NBC, CBS. That's what white is. That's what white's, and that's why it's so easy to mock them, because they don't have anything to say back. If you define yourself by your nonsense materialism based on corporations and governments run by people that think you're retarded, you can't really argue against it. But if you're Polish or Irish, or, you know, you're Irish Christian, you're, you know, these nations. That's why the Jews have a slight advantage, even though they have a nonsense religion. Most of the world has nonsense religions. I know I'm hard on the Jews, but that's because that's the taboo apparently in America. If you go to like, you know, if you like learn about some of these, you know, indigenous, there's a reason that some of these people live in mud. It's like if you're like, well, the god of the panther, and then the god of the, you know, and then the when the thunder comes, it means we have to decapitate a pigeon, and then it's just like the Talmud to me, or the Zohar, the Kabbalah, or any. If you don't, the reason Logos is so beautiful is it creates trust. Once you experience order, like once you experience fairness, which is one thing I don't think people understand, that a lot of people do not operate in a system where fairness is a virtue or being a hypocrite is bad. Once you are in that, you can't imagine leaving it. And that's why if you have a society where everyone's agreed on logos, where it's like, yeah, we're in this. This is the order of the universe. That's why you have such ridiculously high trust societies that become so, so beautiful. You know, that's when you can make giant, beautiful chapels and just gorgeous, you know, just order and profitable in any means. Not usury profitable, but just like thriving. Because when you are in a low trust society, a low trust economy, you don't get eBay. You don't get Craigslist. Every one of them, you'd be like, they're going to rob me. And that's why Jews have a low trust nation, because they don't have logos. They rejected it. And it's not genetic. This is another huge thing that E. Michael Jones shows, and it's true. And I, as a history guy, I always thought it was weird because Ashkenazi Jews aren't Semitic. So anti-Semite doesn't even apply. And also, right before the, when was that? Right before the Reformation, for several hundred years in Europe, almost all Jews converted to Christianity. You know, like what was once a Jew became a Christian. And so your genetics don't change that fast. It doesn't even make sense. Like most of Europe's Jews became Christians. And then a lot of other ones moved to Poland. And then with the reason the Inquisition didn't work is because rabbis then allowed Jews to lie. Because Jews started becoming Christians because there was like so many Jews were becoming Christians, and then some started lying, and then they started beating each other. It's a mess. But low trust societies, okay, like the story of the SATs. Do you know why Kaplan, you know the Kaplan SAT tests? Kaplan SAT tests, or the Kaplan guide, where you study for that. You know why Jews did so well on the SAT? Because Kaplan would have these parties. This is all not only documented, but it's bragged. Where, and by the way, when people are like, you're still talking about religion and Jews, and but yeah, people sometimes focus their whole lives on these types of things. I'm on week three. All right. You know how they'd have, so Kaplan would have these get-togethers, these parties, and the whole deal was you could come to the party if you brought one question from that year's SAT, or from that SAT. And the reason they did this is because the stupid goyim at Harvard, high trust, never changed the test. The SAT test was the same over and over and over again, because most people living in Logos would not even think to cheat. They would think, yeah, I mean, why would you cheat? Your whole world would, nothing would matter. Once you live in Logos, it's actually kind of easy to be tricked. But like, because you're like, why would you do that? You would lose everything good. You know, if you, it's like if you're playing Canon and D, that's why I started this podcast with this. Because what if someone said you can play any note and you're like, okay. It's like, why would I do that? This is the right one, though. And it's the same with like a test. It's like, if you don't do well enough on the test, you shouldn't go to that school. Like that's helpful. And then the Jews were like, got them, you know? And so then they cheated. And then once they got in, they created systems that helped other Jews. That's historical fact. And low trust societies are much, 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 much less profitable because like me and Vox Dare working on this new channel, unauthorized.tv, you know, become a member. He even made a Feed the Bear button, which is very sweet of him, but, you know, it's all good. Also, you can just go and watch stuff for free. You know, there's going to be special features for members and stuff, but when people are like, oh, you got to pay for the new channel? No. for perks, or if you want to support people building an alternative to things that are driving you insane right now. That's all it is. It's great. So when I was working with Vi, I realized that we never even talked money, because I trust him and he trusts me, and there's just no, and I realized for a second, like, how helpful that is. Like, when you're working with someone, like, I know his beliefs. I know how he views the world. I know what I know how dedicated he is to his Christianity, to the point where we can focus on solving problems and not have to constantly, you know, pine over all the possibilities of being tricked. Because when you end up in that society, it becomes poverty ridden. It becomes gross. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing the whole, well, remember when we were kids, kids could play with other kids and blah, 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 because we had a general understanding that there was, you know, trust. And now the helicopter parent, I understand that. We live in a society where we know for a fact that there are people that do not adhere to the cultural rules that we were raised with. And the combination of logos and ethnos is very important. And that's why it sucks what happened to the Catholic Church and the hypocrisy and the corruption and the theft, because they did it really well. I mean, I remember as a kid, I hated church because the priest was a liar and none of it made sense. Nothing was lining up with me at all. You know, literally agnostic hedonism was more logical than the things they were saying. I now realize that it's because it had to be more strict. So funny. I was the wrong direction on that one. But there was the Polish church, there was the Irish church, there was the Italian church. You know, it acknowledging ethnicity, nation, is awesome. Do you know why the Germans were called barbarians? It was because no one could understand them. Bar, 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 bar. That's how people would mock them. They would say they're barbarians. You know, language was one of the biggest, divisive in Europe, and still is. And for people to think there's anything called white power or white supremacy or white pride, look at the European Union. Does that seem to be going well at all? Ethnicity, nation matters, family matters, you know, logos matters. Without that, I'm listening to these alt retards, and which Vox calls white globalism, so true. You can't make your own God. And this brings me to Jordan Peterson. This is actually what Jordan Peterson and the alt-right have in common. Jordan, I got pretty angry about Jordan Peterson because he did trick me, because he brought to me the idea of logos before E. Michael Jones did, and Christ as the human embodiment of logos. But the mistake he made, and this is big, is he said Christ is a construct. Or real, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does, and I'll tell you why. He said Christ is the ultimate. Christ is, you know, your ideal. He said this is the thing that never rested well on me. They made him a carpenter because carpenters build. Okay, think about how destructive that concept is. That's the destruction of the Enlightenment on these ideas. We didn't make Christ, because if you're allowed to make Christ, you're allowed to make any god to carry out your will. That's called Luciferianism. That's do as thou wilt. So you don't get to make the rules. Christ is. Christ was the human embodiment of logos. And God has taken human forms in the Talmud the Torah, you know, like God had a human form in the garden. You know, I think God had a human form to Noah, I think, at some point. Don't quote me. But that was the human, because that, all right, so this gets kind of interesting. And look at this meme. This meme is hysterical. Look at this. And pretend you can't answer the question, even though you know you can. Can't do it. And then it's Jordan Peterson dressed in drag. This was pretty funny. Hang on. And there I was in New Zealand on my prayer rug being shot by Trump supporters. And it's David Hogg. Yeah, see, all this stuff that's driving you crazy right now, right? It's like, How? But if they do this, then this. Why can you take away guns because of one shooting? The statistics, that's all based on logos. Once you reject it, once you reject logical consistency, your ability to think, your ability to question, your ability to reason, this is what happens every time. It's the upside down world. Like that which you were born in, you didn't earn. Like, that's our cultural legacy, is the word of God, logos. And so when everyone's like, well, listen, I'm an atheist because I'm smart. But what really drives me crazy is, you know, these 40-week abortions. You don't deserve, like, mental peace from reason and order unless you understand. Can we close the chat? Just don't look at the chat. That's the thing. Yeah, next time I'll close the chat. I won't leave this chat up, but it's fine. Just don't let it affect you. It's like saying, can we get rid of heroin dealers? No, don't do heroin. It's fine. I'm not allowed to close the chat. I'm not allowed to have members only. Guess what? We built something else. If you want to support it, go to unauthorized.tv. I'm still going to do videos here till they kick me off because I have 240,000 subscribers. That being said, I'm penning a very nice and with some nice legal undertones to YouTube tomorrow about exactly what logos they used to make their decision. And, you know, I've had an unbelievable amount of lawyers volunteer to help me for free if I ever need anything. Because a lot of people got into law because they liked logos. They liked arguing to the base of an idea. And now they see what's happening to it, and they love my stream to the point where they'll give me just epic amounts of legal services just so I can keep doing this because they feel so strongly about it. So, you know, this is all just unfolding the way it is. And the reason that the Christians have peace a lot more than other people is because we aren't making this. All you can do is acknowledge what it is, like it, just continuously find order. And one thing, and I was thinking about what Jew do I relate the most to and have the most respect for logos for, and that would be Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager and I have differences in political opinions because he serves two national masters, you know, America and Israel. And I think if America and Israel went to war, he would choose Israel. So because of that, there's a rift. But he's a Torah Jew. He focuses tremendously on the Old Testament, which is great, and he's a classical musician, not jazz, classical. So when he speaks, he has the least amount of cognitive dissonance with me. And I found that very interesting. That really opened my eyes to a lot. And then the more you go into chaos, and it's currently with our current system, it's Talmudic Jewish type of. But it's the alt-right sounds very similar to me, the alt-retards. Now, I'm talking about like the white pride, we can make our own gods to support whites. That's the same exact problem. You don't get to do that. It's what is. And Jordan Peterson made the mistake of saying Jesus is a construct. And then other people say, oh, it's just Christianity, you know. So race and ethnicity don't matter at all. It's like, no, they matter tremendously. I mean, look at what is. People fight for their people. People congregate around people that kind of look like them and have the same language. You know, the Tower of Babel is a profound example of all of this. But that isn't white. White is a meaningless thing. It's nonsense. It's like saying European Union citizen. Okay. That was created by people who want you to be a slave. If you associate with TV dinners, suburbs, Starbucks, Tinder, you know, you don't have any ability of arguing back. And with the combination of logos and ethnos, you see like an incredible amount of productivity, not war, productivity, wealth, creation. And we don't get to create gods. That's insane. We only get to live our life revealing it. Like just oh, and I was thinking about that because not only, okay, so So YouTube takes away, and by the way, half the chat are agents of chaos. Like, you don't know who they are. Just don't, if you can't handle reading it, don't read it. YouTube demonetizes my thing last week, and it didn't affect me at all because, and it was growing to a sizable amount of money. You know, there's a difference between being broke and not being broke. That's when money matters in our society, in our culture, in our civilization. When you have zero, you know, you're vulnerable. When you can't survive, you're vulnerable. But once you have enough, if you just like want as much as you can get forever, and you are willing to compromise your order, your logos, your love, that's the root of evil. And so when they took it, it didn't affect me at all. It actually freed me to think more and to not have to work, not have to be on here quite as much, because I felt irresponsible to my family not making as much as I could at certain points, because I did know it would end and it was fun. But okay, so the thing Christ brought to us is the element of love with logos, because, you know, logos in our world existed before, but it didn't have the element of love. And I'll tell you how love, because some Christians take that and what I believe to be the wrong interpretation, and they think that's passivity. You know, that it's like put flowers in the end of your guns. Everyone lay down your guns, Jesus. No, then someone will absolutely just take advantage of you. A low trust tribe, and there's tons of them. It's just a lot of them didn't get out of just mud huts. It's one of the reasons they're so impoverished is their lack of order in their minds. A low trust tribe will just completely take advantage of you if you think that that's passivity. Okay, I'll tell you a little story about my wife, Amy. So in the last couple of weeks, three total chickens have died. Two have been chicks. One was a rooster. My wife, Amy's very sweet, incredibly, incredibly full of love and maternal instincts. But she is so full of love. It's incredible. And that's why women need strong male men in their life. Like, they need their husbands to be strong, because just love can be guided towards nefarious reasons pretty easily. That's why women vote dramatically differently, whether or not they're married with children or single. Single, they vote bigger government, more safety, nonsense, right? If they have a husband and children especially, they will vote for more freedom, you know, smaller government, you know, more Christianity, because it's they're full of love, like a tremendous amount. I don't have nearly as much love in my heart as Amy. And so the male's job is to be more ordered, disciplined, you know, and big picture stuff, you know, keep Christianity in the house. Women can trail off more because they're just full of love. And that's why giant events like a march or a concert or a rave or stuff, or like a stuff like that, affects women way more, because they go towards groups. You know, men don't have that as much. They just aren't as affected by that. So that's why it's an incredible union, male, female, logos. And so our rooster scratched our son a few weeks ago. And Amy is really into animals, like just love. But she told me about it and she said, "I think the rooster's got to go." And I said, "Say no more, my love." And I got him and I chopped his head off and then we ate him. And Amy was happy. She was like, oh, my man just brought home dinner, like just pumped. And at no point did her maternal instincts with the chicken kick in whatsoever at all. She saw that as a threat to Walter, and she was very happy to have a decisive and violent husband. Cut to a little chickie, got out of its little holding area in our coop, which we built so strongly it would blow your mind. And we have a heat lamp, we have everything. It died. It froze to death. and she was weeping. She was inconsolable, just weeping and weeping. And she was like, this is my fault, because the love was for the chicken in that position, because she saw that as what she wasn't responsible for taking care of. And the other example, it was Walter. The rooster was the enemy. In this example, the cold was the enemy. You understand? So love does not make you weak. Love is the engine that drives your life. You know, being full of love does not mean that you will not take life or you will not be decisive. In fact, there's nobody that's more brutal than women. And you can see that's why women don't make great leaders. Like Angela Merkel, you know, all these people that are childless heads of states are terrible, because they aren't motivated as much by order as men. Just like Macron in France, no children, you know, molested by his wife. I'm serious, when he was a kid, it's true. Hillary Clinton, lesbian, just mess. You know, Bill Clinton was motivated by his appetites. Barack Obama, homosexual, you know, motivated by deviancy. Like these, it's like, that's why love is like a strong engine, but it can be turned into things that are very, very bad. You know, all the language we're using now is female, very feminine, but horrifying. You know, it's all about, you know, my safe space, tolerance, hate speech. These are words a woman would use to justify violence and protection of her children. And so a woman without a child with a bomb and a gun is dangerous. And so we're seeing a lot of that. And that's why order is so incredible. I'll show you yesterday. Yeah, like I'll give you an example. Okay, this is our duck house for our new ducks that we're getting ready for the pond. That's just for three ducks. My wife did all of that. My wife also decisively was like, kill the rooster. Order. Okay, my son yesterday on his birthday party, I got him a little blue fishing pole. And now just this morning, he brought it down to this little trickle. And he fishes. And he says, Dada, patience. And then I brought my fishing pole down and he said, I love you, Dada. Okay, that's the result of order. You know, when you live in a world, that's why Jordan Peterson tricked me so effectively. He gave me a touch of it, you know, clean your room. That's the beginning of order, right? But then he says, not too much order though, because then you're a tyrant. No, there's no such thing as too much order. That is God, that is love. So when you have your male and your female, his examples of like, you know, he was giving examples of OCD. OCD can be a result of someone living in a world without order, because there's some sort of force that will not allow them peace. So then they take peace by these rituals of order. That's actually the result of chaos. Order is, it just is. And so when you see certain groups of people just always associating with each other, and people are like, oh my God, we need to import more people. No, you aren't God. And the biggest problem with the Jewish culture now is that they all believe they can cure the world. That's not all the people, but that's a theme of Judaism. And I learned that from a Jew named Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager has the most logos of any Jew I know, despite my political disagreements with him. He said that a Jew without Judaism is dangerous, because a Jew without Judaism falls for utopianism. And utopianism is Bolshevism, communism, which is communism, feminism, Trotsky, the neoconism, the Trotskyites, all this stuff, sexism, racism, bigot, because they're trying to cure the world, because they don't have logos. They have nothing holding them down. Now, Judaism itself doesn't have logos because it has the Talmud and the Kabbalah and just unlimited amounts of interpretations and blah, blah, blah. And that's the problem white people are facing that don't realize that they're based on a construct created by people trying to ethnically cleanse ethnically white neighborhoods and cities with black sharecroppers to get them into the country. Like, that's why I love this history stuff. Here's another, I forgot. I just missed it. All right. Anyway, I'm going to check and see if I, oh yeah. Kind of like how polytheism is so dangerous because it removes logos, because you can just keep creating gods. There's no end. That's why I love music, right? That's pure logos. You have 12 notes, 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is a beautifully logos number, right? And in that 12, you have, like, there's no, it's infinite. It's literally an infinite amount of beauty you can make from there, you know? As long as you respect the logos, you know? When you have, let's say it wasn't 12 notes, it was unlimited notes, I wouldn't be able to even start playing a song. I'm the most effective. That's why I have Alpha and Bravo characteristics, is because heavily Bravo, is because I need a system to start doing what makes me so good, that makes me a leader, that makes me, you know, fearless and all these things that people think that I'm alpha. But that's why, you know, Christ being your alpha, or just a very, very competent person, it's like, I need this. I need the jumping off point is how I start my ordering. Like, if someone says, okay, let's start a business, what do you got in mind? I'm like, what? You know, it's like, I have no idea. It's even something like, there's a million instances where it's like, well, let's create something. I'm like, pick something, and then I will make it really great. But that original, you know, with unlimited choices, it actually makes you kind of freeze. And I think a lot of people experience that. And that's the problem with a lot of these religions. Like, polytheism is that. You basically, if you can have 10 gods, why can't you have 20? Why not 50? Why not 100? Why not 500? Why not 5,000? Why not? It never ends. It's just an open fractal, you know? And that's the same with the problem with Judaism, is it's almost like polythoughtism. It's like, if you can have feminism, why not thisism and thisism and thisism? And it just keeps going, you know? Like, and now all of science is so corrupt because it is all designed pretty much just to hide their errors. Because there's so many fundamental errors now of science that it's becoming so convoluted that it's like Talmudic, or it's like talking to someone like an aboriginal polytheistic religion or Scientology, you know, just some of these things that never end. It's just, and that's a way to make slaves, because it's like, well, same with, you know, Freemasons. How do you get to the next level? Well, I'll do this secret and this and that. How do you get to the next level? And then you just keep going till the final, I don't know what the final levels are, but I'm guessing it's just some form of horrific bondage, you know? And unless you have that original unmoved mover, that's why atheism is by far the most illogical ism. That which is not cannot create. Words themselves are, that is logos. Like, you have to have a shared understanding of what words mean, and then you create patterns based on truth, what is. And so if someone says nothing created, that's upside down. And I'm fascinated by pyramids. And then I'm gonna go back to working in the garden. And maybe next time we'll go back to like PayPal super chats or something, because I really do miss talking to you guys. But feel free to comment. I like interacting, but you know, You guys get it. Super chats get rid of the noise. You know, it allows us to have some sort of logos. But, and the PayPal ones actually work better than the YouTube ones. I was getting way more of YouTube, which was actually an issue. That's why in our new channel, we're going to have a limit of super chats. But next time I'll do PayPal super chats so we can interact. But it felt good to stay on topic. I can't remember what I was just talking about, though. What was I going to, what the hell, what in the hell was I talking about? Does anyone remember? Anyone remember what I was just talking about? I'm just checking the chat's open today. I'm no longer on the chat. A lot of you guys, science. Hang on 1 second. Science. Someone says, I am poor, so I'm not a members chat. There's no such thing as members chats anymore. Oh, pyramid. All of the members got an email saying that their membership had been canceled. It's because this channel has been demonetized. I can't make $1 on it, even if it's voluntary. There is no memberships anymore. There is no super chats. There is no ads because I crossed lines. Do I regret that? Absolutely not. Not 1 second. In fact, I finally got some rest. And we already have a good amount of members, and unauthorized.tv is it's open for anyone to watch videos, and we will continuously grow and make more stuff. We weren't quite ready to launch it, but Vox pulled it off. It's cool, and I'm sending YouTube a really good letter tomorrow, exactly about why voluntary support was canceled. I understand ads. But voluntary makes no sense, especially because my About Me section originally states that I am a comedian. You need logos, though, to do that. That's why business falls apart when you have no reason, when you have no logic, when you have no shared belief. Because, you know, you show the hypocrisy and it's just about power. And guess what? In the end, that doesn't work for anybody. It just keeps degenerating. You know, pyramids interest me because pyramids are so ordered and they're so beautiful and they're so mysterious that logos existed before Christ. Christ was the human embodiment of logos. You know, people understood logos. They understood the ultimate order. And to make those pyramids, and the things that blow my mind with the pyramids, the Egyptian ones, yes, mind-blowing. And then we could do a whole episode just on that. It's the ones in Central and South America, because those cultures, those people have done nothing like that since. And I'm so curious what allowed them to have that type of order. And don't just say aliens. That's such a cop out. That's like evolution. It's like, well, what about this? What about this? Oh, it's like atheism. When you say that's the death of science is, Well, you ask one question that kind of unravels it, and people just shrug it off and don't let you ask the question, like climate change or statistics. That was one thing that I didn't understand. I was listening to a Stephen Molyneux episode about, you know, his race theories, and someone brought up Eskimos. And they're like, why don't Eskimos have high IQs if it's environmental? You know, if smart people are the only ones who survive. And they've been there thousands and thousands of years, and it's like the coldest environment possible. And his answer, I remember, didn't make sense to me. It was a total shrug off, and they moved on quickly. And I remember just thinking, like, why wasn't he more curious about that? Like, if a group of people lived in frigid tundra for thousands of years, and their average IQ is lower, like significantly lower than Sweden, Norway, those places, what would cause that? And I think his answer was they couldn't farm or something. And I'm like, Vikings couldn't farm. That's why they're on ships. I don't remember, but I remember being completely unsatisfied by it. And he's a truth seeker too. And it felt like it was a question that undercut some race theory. And because my theory is it's a combination of I'm sure biology has something to do with it, but we don't have enough knowledge about that. Okay, if you see the world, okay, some of the highest IQ people in the world are absolute sputtering retards. They think that men are women and women are men. And the ability to cheat on tests, all this stuff. Okay. When you look at Germanic history, they really were like almost, they acted like indigenous people. They were like Conan the Barbarian. They were chasing pigs through the forest. And then once they were introduced to Logos, they became unbelievably good at creating form and order and work and all that stuff. And that's when you get into the, I haven't researched it enough to start talking about this one topic. I will though. But like the Greeks had logos, they were creating beautiful, just beautiful stone, just epic creations out of obvious order, philosophy, all that stuff. They were brown, you know. And then you have the Islam has such a flaw of logos because, you know, when Socrates, when Aristotle's works reached the Muzzis, they had to reject it because they had this weird, they have this belief that like if it isn't in the Quran, it's false, or if it isn't, if it goes against something, or they just had to be like, no, they're no, and then that made it so they couldn't progress at all, and then you know it was probably a lot of inbreeding and whatnot. I don't know. That's the thing is, I always get freaked out by people that I know they don't know enough about a certain topic, but yet they speak so obvious about it. You know, like there is racial differences in IQ averages, yes, but how can we not look at the role of an ordered mind? Like if you take a sub-Saharan and you understand that their upbringing is nonstop chaos and just, I would love to see a study, and this could reaffirm race IQ theory or not or whatever. It's like if you take a sizable African population and raise them with like a lot of order, because people are focused on their like diet and all this shit. And I'm like, I don't know. I find stuff interesting. And then people that were all about me questioning one thing will be like, no, don't question that. I'm like, if you can't question things, you can't get logos. It's the whole point. You know, no sacred cows outside of Christ. Which is why Flat Earth I find very interesting. This is the one thing I will say about Flat Earth that I have not... It's not about Flat Earth. It's about questioning the narrative. This is the most interesting thing I've come up with yet is that there is no repeatable study, physical study, that doesn't require a previous assumption based on something you can't prove that shows that this is moving. And before you freak out, just look into it. That's the thing that I find the most compelling. That's why Einstein is so lionized, because the theory of relativity allows people to be their own gods with science again. The theory of relativity, everything's relative. It sounds like a psychiatrist on cocaine. That's the thing about my journey through just ungodly amounts of flat earth research. You know, check out this, this contradicts this. The one thing that I found that was very interesting is that there's no repeatable physical experiment that you can do that doesn't require previous unprovable stuff or thought experiments or assumptions based on a source that has either been proven to be lies or you can't prove it. Like there is no fundamental thing that you can do to prove that this is moving. That's interesting. And that isn't a mental meltdown or any of this stuff. It's interesting. Because we're in a world of such liars and lies and illusions and tricks that my life has gotten significantly better since I've focused more on what I can see and touch and feel and smell. You know, I've been tricked on this digital world a million times. You guys have witnessed some, and we've gotten through it together. You know, there's so many halls and mirrors and tricks. And when you look around, you look at the trees and the birds and the soil and your kids and water and, you know, logic and what is, it brings you to a real place of like, of decisive peace. Like you're peaceful, but you can act. Like, okay, I've been getting hammered by, you can call them anything you want, SJWs, proxy warriors, you know, leftists, millions of names for people. People that have just rejected Logos for a million reasons. It's the Jews are not behind it. It's people that are rejecting Logos. Jews just happen to be very good at doing it, and especially right now in our current world. But if the Heart of Darkness, you know, the Apocalypse Now is the dark side of rejecting Logos. Like Colonel Kuntz, you know, they go deep into the jungle to find this once brave, you know, Western warrior just engaged in cannibalistic rituals and power acquisition and madness. That's a metaphor for the Enlightenment, where it's like, when you reject that which is, you know, our Christian heritage, and you start being like, well, what is power? You know, well, this God allows me to do this, and this God allows me to do this. You enter the Heart of Darkness, and a white man can get there just as easily as a black man. Maybe not quite as easy, but you know what I'm saying. And so, I don't know. I forgot again what I was talking about. Apocalypse Now. Yeah, that's what I gather from that. Pyramids in South America are older than African pyramids. I know. See, this is the thing. Pyramid, like the pyramid show order is so old. I'll give you an example of pyramids, why pyramid symbolism is so interesting. Repetition breaks spells. It's all tricks, only trust what we can recreate. Right. Less than half of all known science can be recreated. Less than half. You're better with a coin. You're better off with a coin. It's nonsense. It's fiction. But I'm not saying that there isn't engineering. There isn't, you know, Tesla wasn't a scientist. Tesla was an engineer. Like the food pyramid, remember that was upside down. The food pyramid said, you know, bread, and then, you know, eat as much bread as you can. And then if you're gay, you eat a little veggies and fruits, and then like almost no fats. And if you're going to have butter, have it be margarine. That was upside down. So like when I look at a pyramid, I'm looking at pure order. That's the most stable structure possible. And the representation of just such pure order is like these giant, perfectly cut blocks that we can't imagine. And we're so detached from so much of this order that we don't even know how they did it. We just invent theories that keep changing faster than anything and call it science. And then Christ comes as the human embodiment of Logos, of God, and allows us to see love, which frees man. But like, Logos itself is the creation. And it's like those pyramids, they're just like, because that's why people that do too much like race theory and bullshit like that, I'm like, okay, I'll show you a bunch of white people making the most ugly, just falling apart garbage structures right now. Modern art, you know, these architectures just falling apart, this ugly world, you know, these slobs, these slovenly. And it's because they've rejected order. And then I'll show you a Japanese person just making a samurai sword that the balance you can't fathom. Just, you know, or their bonsai tree obsession, all that stuff. You know, that's why Christ is important. It's like some of the best representation of Logos is in Japan. But then they just watch cartoons and whack off and just fly planes into shit. We don't know the race of the people who made the pyramids. But that's what really sets my mind going, is it doesn't matter. what it does is it undercuts the white people create everything great theory. Because if you can insert that you are sure that like Germanic or Anglo-Saxon people are responsible for the pyramids in Central and South America without any more evidence, or you say they're aliens, that's wizardry. Now, it may not be the brown people we see there today, but that is a representation of unbelievable order. You know, it isn't the chaos we're seeing coming out of Somalia and Guatemala and these animals that just, you know, low trust, rape, theft, all that's, a rejection of Christ, order, God. But in that same land, unfathomable distance from Europe, like in a time when our entire history says there's no way of getting there, you have perfect ordered giant structures. You'll see them in Laos and Indonesia and some of the like ancient, like so old you can't imagine it. And so that is interesting to me. And then when you see the racial guys going, and by the way, I'm not objecting to like ethnic nation. Great, necessary. But white is the acceptance of slavery to me. And I know I'm going to get some letters from the next wave of people I'm pissing off. But as a comedian, I have to stress test every word. You know, like, the food pyramid, you know, you got the bread. It was upside down. And so upside down, like what they were making was a pyramid on its pointer, on its point. Just like how American politics is running, how our economics is starting to become, how our culture is becoming, how our science is becoming, how our media is. It's unsustainable because it's the least stable. We are building, you know, metaphorical pyramids upside down. That point. Like that point. If you build something, isn't that like an Illuminati sign or some shit? Yeah. I think that like when people make that triangle shit, when you build something top heavy like that, it has to crumble. That's the exact opposite of God's order. And when you do that, you die. Everything good vanishes. And when you truly understand that, you realize that there is no negotiating with it. There is no complying. I feel like YouTube was kind of doing that with me a little bit when they're like, we demonetize your platform, but we'll still let you update videos and you can edit your videos. It was almost like, edit your videos. And it's so funny to me because once you know, it's almost like now that I know family life and love, like love and order and creation in my home, when someone's like, yeah, but I just got some pussy. I just had a threesome. Like, aren't you jealous? Like, I can't imagine. It's like when someone doesn't know how good things can get or how much better it is, they tempt you with shit that it just doesn't commute at all. It's almost like, hey man, I know you have like, you know how you really love your piano? Yeah, well, if you don't smash your piano, I won't punch you in the nuts. And that's why it doesn't bother me. You know, a lot of people writing me almost like condolence letters. And I get it. You guys are caring and it's awesome. And I do need to survive. So thanks for the support. You know, hugepianist.com if you want to go outside of YouTube and support. And people are like, oh, you're begging for money? It's the opposite. That's completely voluntary. That's people saying, I choose to support this person. It's the inverse pyramid. What they only see coercion, right? So when they say, we will take away your money if you don't say these words, and I don't say these words, they take away my money. And then people say, but we will support you and your family so you don't get in an even more vulnerable position. That is the exact opposite of begging for money. Begging and groveling for money comes from, you know, tell me what to say and I'll say it. And then you'll give me something because then you're a slave. So yeah, if you want to support hugepianist.com, I've gotten a good amount of them in the last few days and that it's heartwarming. It literally is. And you guys get it so much that it's just such an awesome and survivable audience I have apparently. Like the loyalty you guys show. I mean, the memberships on unauthorized.tv is almost, it's probably like half already of what I had here, like that fast. And this is my first live stream. Like, we're not buying into this nonsense anymore. And a lot of people are like writing me condolence letters, which I appreciate because they did take, you know, attack me financially with absolutely no logical reason. But to comply to that is so much worse that I thought it was funny. I thought it was eye-opening. It actually showed me weakness of people. And like when you have a sense of love in your life and order and logic and actual reason, when people say the age of enlightenment or the reason, you know, when people can reason through everything, reason only is going back and forth, which is God. Reason is like doing tests. Like, can I say white supremacist? What about white enthusiast? What if I exaggerate the Holocaust and say it was 50 million? Does that get me in trouble? Or if I just say it's 20,000? What if it's 5.5 million? What if I say not only didn't it happen, it was only gay clowns? You know, like that's reasoning with, that's not me inventing reality. That's me testing with my words, which makes us human. What is? Reason and logic is figuring out what is. And so that's why when you get new information that allows you more structure, more order, it's unbelievable. And giving that up for financial reward is the destruction of everything. And here, oh yeah, I forgot to finish this thought and then I'll get out of here. I've been attacked by leftist, SHW, whatever you want to call them, for a while now. Do you understand that when you watch their lives as it unfolds, and I don't like pay attention to them, but I just get like every now and then someone will tell me something. Their lives go so badly. You know, this once fierce, digital adversary with all these followers and, you know, this big music career or movie star or producer or journalist, and they're just condemning you and everyone's jumping on board and you're like, oh no, check back in 5 years. There's a good chance they're dead or they're like desperate. They look different. They talk different. They're repeating someone else's words. They're obese. They're, you know, this isn't, when you're fighting this battle, don't think like, okay, I'm fighting this battle for all of white people. No, I'm fighting this battle for Christianity. You're fighting this battle for your own soul. It's like, and then if you're doing that, your life becomes more beautiful and good. That's another thing Peterson got wrong when he said life is suffering. The fuck it is. Life is suffering. Dude, yesterday, my boy's birthday party was the best birthday party I've ever been to because I don't like birthdays, because I don't like attention on myself. This is tough to believe, but this is obviously true. I don't, aside from comedy or like thought, like stuff like this, I don't like attention on me. I don't like parties about me. I don't like people, you know, being real pushy, like I have to blow out some candles when I don't want to. I don't like gifts from people that I feel like they feel that I now owe them. But watching my son have just a huge family around him, you know, all family, just all blood family, 15 people. Just getting presents, like his uncle, Boom, made him, because he's an engineer, made him a monster truck ramp. Said Walter on it. You know, people are getting him presents because they know him and they love him. And he's just, he got his monster truck cake and his strawberry shortcake cake. I got him a fishing pole. Didn't even have line in it. And we just fished in our little creek. And with his tackle box, and he's so committed to fishing. I was like, this is the best birthday I've ever had. And it's not even mine. It's my son's. I get to live through his. And to think Jordan Peterson saying life is suffering. Life is absolutely stunning. You know, when you really see, when you see order and logos and God and just what is, like when you respect what is, your life will have tragedy. I mean, my wife feels that one of our chicken dying was her fault, and she cried. Like, she hurt a lot over that. Yeah, there is loss. We'll have more pain, more loss, like horrific loss. But if you really think about life itself, it's astoundingly beautiful. And the people that think they can control life and they can control order and that they can make a God or design a God or design Christ to help with society, you can't do that. You can't heal the world. You can't change the world. When you do that, you ensure your own destruction. And when you don't, when you understand that nihilism is removing your ability to change the world, but also not having anything. That's awful. But when you remove when you understand that you can't change the world, you can't change what is. You can't make anal pumping behind a dumpster the same as matrimonial lovemaking. You can't, that isn't true. And if you pretend it is, then before you know, you have common sense gun control. No, there is no. You have the right to defend yourself. You have the right to defend yourself. And if you can't make an argument based on logos, logic, reason, order, then it's like, how many bullets can you have? Is it this or that? And that's why we're in this madness. But you have to face the hard truths. You want to get rid of abortion? You have to say condoms are bad. And that's a tough cookie to swallow. That's a tough cookie to swallow. If you make sex sterile for your own pleasure with a condom, there is no argument that, you know, butt pumping isn't, you just, but yeah, but homosexuality, what if it's a woman? You're just anal with a woman. That's still sodomy. You know, then it's like, oh, but it's not really a life at 4 weeks, but nah, 12 weeks. Then they take it to 40 weeks. If you open the door, if you think that you can rewrite logos, they will take it to a degree that is horrifying. And it's your fault. It is. It's your fault for not holding ground. It's not your fault for not knowing that. But once you see it, you can't negotiate with it. You can't negotiate with it. You can't say, well, I mean, I'm cool with condoms and birth control. No, once you do that, the next generation or the next group of people that doesn't just know abortion's wrong, you'll have no argument. You have no argument. And that was how I was raised in the Catholic Church. And that's why I don't respect. That's why I went towards agnostic hedonism, because it literally made more logical sense than what I was hearing. Because they needed to be more strict. You know, they needed to hold the line more. You cannot negotiate with it. Because now we have a Jesuit Pope who wants open borders and butt pumping and abortion. It's like, that's because you strayed from the very beginning. And everyone strays. Everyone's going to make mistakes. No, nobody is pure logos. That's a fact. But you have to acknowledge it is a stray. You can't say condoms are okay. Condoms are good. You know, someone's like, I used a condom. Yeah. Yeah. I've used condoms. Yeah, but like, that isn't good. Or else then why isn't butt pumping? You know, if you say Meryl Streep can have guns protecting her, or U.S. government officials, or the Pope, why can't state senators? Why not aldermen? What if you're contracted by the government? Okay. Why not the schools then? Because they're government schools. It devolves into nothing. You either have the right to protect yourself or you don't. And when you give up logos, the obvious thing that is real, you open the door to nonsense. And now everyone just keeps blaming random groups. It's the left. It's the neocons. It's the globalists. It's the elites. It's the media. It's the lack of adherence to rules. And the rules aren't arbitrary. Moses had the same problem. Moses was a logos guy. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Like, that is logos. E. Michael Jones. Oh, dude, I've been in a bender. All right. Hit the like button and share. Even though I don't make money on these anymore, you guys support me anyway. And so I'm still going to be here. The unauthorized.tv, check that out. Become a member. Support. Hugepianist.com if you want to be a direct monthly supporter so that we just keep the train moving. All voluntary, obviously, but you know, you'll get some perks, I guess, like when I tour and stuff. And it automatically joins you on the mailing list, which I will use more if I can't. I've been kicked off every social media because I was not willing to abandon my logos, you know. If this, then that. And this is one of the most controversial tweets I ever did. And it's pure logos. If a woman is being raped and she calls her attacker a nigger, modern social media, if a woman is raped and she calls her attacker a nigger, modern social media will think the word is more offensive than the act. And then I was proven right. All these blue check marks, how could you say that word? How could you say that word? I'm like, you're more offended by a word than a rape. And then I blew their mind again. I said, I didn't even say the color of the rape victim or the rapist. What if it was a black woman and a white male? Does that change it? Okay, now you're in nonsense land. That was what made me so threatening on social media. That's why you hear about Richard Spencer all the time and the Charlottesville people, because they're just as retarded as any of these unlimited, no adherence to logos people. That's why you don't hear about Vox Day unless you're in, he's known. Like, he's, you know, he has a massive amount of people that like him, but mainstream media, you don't hear about me or him or, like, you know, Gavin McGinnis, because we're actually pursuing logos. You know, you hear about, like, white globalists, people that are like, it's all about whites. We need our own God. Okay, let's put a spotlight on him and let him kill his own people. It's like when you can't argue a point, like how, when you don't speak the same language or have the same traditions or same military history or any religion, anything, but you have the same color skin, you aren't the same nation. I'm multiracial or whatever you want to call it, multinational, national, whatever. Big trick, state, national, the nation of America. No, it's a state. Your nation is your people, and it's specific. It has to include a language, has to include some sort of ethnic heritage, history. And when people are like, oh, you're selling out your whites. There is no whites. Empires are forced. The United States of America is a forced empire since the Civil War. It is. It's forced. And then once you adhere to that, your family heritage is Starbucks, family dinners, a Honda Civic, just broken families and obesity. No. All Europeans are white. Yes, but it isn't unifying. If you're playing, okay, we have the identity politics of the modern American political system, whites are losing bad because, you know, everyone's represented except white people. You have the Hispanic vote. You know, I'm here to represent Hispanics. I'm here to represent blacks. I'm for gay blacks. I'm for this Muslims, and the whites don't have anybody. So it's logical to say we need white representation. That's logical in a logical system. In a logical system. That makes sense in a world of lies. So if you play ball, it's literally like two football teams in the NFL playing each other, and one thinks they won. No, those points don't matter. The owner won. Now you just have brain damage. If you want to advocate for white people, you have to understand there isn't white people. You have to start with, like, your base. Like, what is your nation? Like, what is your, you know, religion? What is your heritage? And then from there, you are so much stronger. There is no strength in just saying white. It's like, because it's associated with all these Jewish things. white. I mean, think of all these corporations that are assigned to white people, and they're all either run or mostly run by Jewish people. It's funny in a really crazy way. Blood, right? But actually, okay. The word white was designed to do this. Even in my childhood in the fucking 80s, man, this is way after white flight with all the sharecroppers being pumped in the cities to destroy the white ethnic heritage. Okay, in my childhood, I didn't hear white. That's invented by like media people to, you know, that the roots, it's like cisgender. Okay, Norm MacDonald's a great joke. He says, the word cis is to marginalize normal people. Cisgender is exactly like white. It does the same thing. So if you're like cis pride, you have now already agreed to be in a system that's insane. Whites are the greatest warriors. Oh God, so many of you guys are already buying into it. Which whites? What does that mean? Guys, the history of the word was designed to do this. It's like saying, dude, the best family people were cis. Cis pride. The only family was family. You just replaced. You took a new nonsense word to put yourself in a minority category. You understand that? When you have white pride, you put your, it's like cis pride. I'm dead serious. When I was a kid, it was like, my buddy Gino was Italian. Gino the Casino, we used to call him. Greasy Italian. Then we had the Polish and then the Irish. It's like you had these, and Oswego still had little kind of ethnic groups. You know, there'd be like the German, you know, shop. And then you make it all white, and then no one has any cohesion. And now you're designed by what you buy from China with import-export laws dominated by Jewish people that no one benefits. Want to know what you get? You get hopelessness. And so then when you have white pride, that's like when NWA was like bringing, like proud of being a nigger. It's the same thing. The word nigger used to mean ignorant person, or it was just like a fucking normal dig like any other dig is. There was this push to make it this crazy word that no one can say. It was a way to get, people to, it was the civil right. It was right after, whatever. I got to land this plane. So having nigger pride was very bad for black people in America. And they face the same things that white people are facing right now when it comes to that type of language problem. They were like, people call us niggers, people say, right now it's like people say white, toxic white man, people say whites are the worst people. Well, guess what? I have pride in being white. The word white was invented for you to think this way. When people are like, they call me nigger, everyone's calling me a nigger. Yeah, damn right, I am a nigger. I'm a motherfucking nigger. We're bringing back nigger. It's you just put yourself in a category of crime because that word is associated with, gang banging and leaving your chick and dealing drugs and all this shit. Recessive genetics aren't good. Cracker was never. See, that's the thing is it doesn't even matter. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Some of you do. Some of you don't. If not, hey, Owen, go on a gold buster. They're landing the plane, landed it. Butter or margarine? Honky, but you understand how honky doesn't offend you, cracker doesn't offend you, but yet toxic white male does. Why? Because they made that nigger. They made that the nigger word. And now when you have pride in the very word used to degrade you and remove your ethnic heritage, remove your national American heritage, you buy right into it. When someone calls you a cracker, you laugh. When someone calls you a toxic white male, you're like, white people fucking made all the inventions and we built this. Dude, I've been there. I get it. I've fallen for that trap. It's an obvious trap. Well done, Jews. Well done, Jews. It was beautiful until I saw it. Because you start listing all the inventions and, well, thanks a lot for televisions, cars, engines, blah, blah, look at all we do. And if you Google inventors, they're all black just to taunt you, just to troll you. And you're like, these are all black. No, the most inventors are white and white people brought us all this great shit. But you've already bought into it. They did the same. You already bought into it. You already lost, and you don't even know it. That's why my Instagram says Owen Benjamin of America. We're in a weird spot. You know, I'm American white people, and I get to say that because I'm white. They're creating, okay, so like the George Soros types are creating racial tension with made up race words. Toxic masculinity, toxic white male, white people, white man. Okay, who owns the whole media? Okay, they're creating this stuff so that you have pride in something that doesn't exist. Okay, we are Anglophiles in America. We speak English. That's very different than French and German. You know, and but yet there's a lot of Germans that contributed to America, and you know, you have, but it's like the fact we speak English separates us from Germans, separates Americans from French. You know, if you're talking to a black guy that speaks English versus a German who can't speak one word of English, you will be more productive with that person. You have more in common with that person. The amount of information being exchanged just from the very words you use, like romance languages, all have cultural similarities because they have the gender of nouns, el, la, you know, in Spanish. La luna, it's a woman. It's lying. America, you know, English says the moon. Those simple things change everything. Think about transgenderism in any romance language. It would be laughed at, el, la. Your whole life you're thinking of what is the gender of every object, let alone what is trans, like, That's why the language you use is so important to your heritage and what, you know, there's Korean language has like 30 different pronouns based on your social rank. That changes everything. That changes everything that has to do with how people interact with each other, you know? So just know, and I have empathy for this. I'm not saying that you're racist for saying you have white pride or any of this stuff. I understand it's a reaction to a power game built, designed for your own destruction. Listen, it takes a lot of thinking to kind of get to the bottom of some of these. It's a trick. They did it to the blacks successfully. They made them have pride in being niggers. And now look at them. There was in the 50s, black kids were more likely to be born into a married family than white kids because they were so crazy Christian and just their family structure were really held together strong. Okay, now your odds, if you're black, you know, the odds are 1 in 2, you get aborted. And if you miss the, you know, the old abortion machine, I think it's like 11% chance that you have parents that are married. Okay, between then and now, what happened? You know, blacks fell for every single one of these social engineering tricks. You know, at first it was black pride, you know, it was all about like Black Panther, black, you know, they were pushing for more gun rights and stuff. They were proud black men, the Afro, you know, Muhammad Ali was like, we will not mix our babies. We will not mix our babies. I do not want a half white, half black baby, a mongoloid baby. I want my baby to be beautiful, black, beautiful skin. And black, beautiful hair. I don't want no black, white baby. I'm a proud black. Black is beautiful. And it's this big boy. All right. So then the social engineers brought in the pimps. Superfly. How'd they do it? I don't know. Hollywood media. I mean, the obvious ways. And so then it's like have pride and slapping yo bitch. And then by the 80s, they brought in the rap. NWA. Coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown. So police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit because I ain't the one. I'm just a young motherfucker with a badge and a gun. You'd be beaten on. I'd go in jail. We could go toe to toe in the middle of it stale. Fucking with me because I'm a teenager. Dude, they took watch a Martin Luther King Jr. speech. The blacks are all in dresses and ties. And then they get black pride. The fuck is black? Black pride. Black pride. We are beautiful. And then they get pride in being the alpha dog criminal, a pimp. And then you bring in crack and then you bring in rap. And before you know it, they're broken. So white people, and I say that because I am one, understand that this is that point in our history where they're now testing us to have white pride. And then once you have that, you bring in the white criminal, pride in the white criminal, and then you bring in, you know, the white music that is degrading. I mean, the white pride thing didn't work as well on the whites because we may be genetically smarter. I don't know. I'm not a geneticist. But, you know, now they're just kind of bringing in everything at once. They're just like, okay, white music, bring in some house music, you know, make country music kind of gay, you know, rock, you know, Maroon 5, let's make everyone a homo. Opioids, pump them, you know. So now it's just kind of crazy. But N-word means slave. No, it doesn't. It meant nigga meant black. It also meant ignorant person. It's all by design. Richard Spencer wants a word with you. Well, I also want, you know, more weapons, more books. The guy isn't very interesting. I mean, I'd talk to him, but I'm not interested in him. I think he's doing more damage than anything. It's like, okay, Pan-Asianism resulted in the Japs. Pan-Africanism resulted in, you know, what was that guy that got bayoneted to death in his asshole? Gaddafi. Yeah, unify Africa. Spencer, deaf sodomite. No one's gayer. That guy needs dick in his mouth or ass every 10 minutes or he cries like a child. Debate Spencer or not. That's the beauty. It's up to me. He can talk shit if he wants. I don't care. I won't take offense to it. But I just, listening to like alt retards, I'm not talking about actual hard right-wing people. I'm talking about alt retards, global white, the white globalists. Richard Spencer's pro-abortion. I'm Christian. Do you think I have anything but disdain for the way the man's mind works? You can't have that in your society. I don't think we should have condoms. Like, I think that we should. Our family intact is survival. You know, we view the sex act as that which creates life. It's not for your own pleasure. It feels unbelievable. It's awesome. You know, fuck a ton when you're married. Great. But the purpose can't be just to get off. It can't be, or else you open the door for all the disgust that we're now seeing and there's no way out. And this is a tough reality. People are like, yeah, but I like to fuck. I mean, it's not abortion. It's just fucking with a rubber. And I mean, I kind of know her. I mean, no. All right, I'm landing the plane. Hit the like button. And for people thinking that I was always motivated by money, people always said that. Look at me. I still have a hard time landing the plane. There are no super chats. I may have a harder time not landing the plane without super chats because these ideas get so exciting. Hugepianist.com if you want to support. Unauthorized.tv. Hit the like button and share. And much love. Thanks for hanging out. Yeah, we still have 4,600 people here. And the lack of monetization is fine. It actually cleared my head a little bit. And I'm really excited to see how YouTube responds to my very logical questioning of exactly why I suffered such incredible financial loss. Like, mind-blowing. I'm not going to talk numbers, but if you guys realize, you'd be like, they just ended that? Yeah. And did I get sad? No, because it was without logos. Much love to E. Michael Jones. I mean, this guy was very inspiring. All right, peace.